for your approval. This is Chuck McGregor, your host, welcoming you to a program we call For Your Approval. It's a new series during which we'll present a number of different types of programs. One week you'll hear a comedy show, another week a dramatic presentation, and still another week it might be a new kind of quiz program or a different musical show. But just as the title says, we present each of these shows for your approval. I'm very much interested in receiving your comments on each of these programs, either favorable or unfavorable. I'm really asking you all to turn yourselves into radio critics for the next half hour as we present a program called This Is Jazz, a program unique in presenting the true origins of pure jazz music. You think you know what jazz really is? Well, all too many Americans don't. So listen, what follows may be a revelation to you as we present, for your approval, This Is Jazz.
This is Jazz, a program conceived by Harry Fromkes and Rudy Blesch. Mr. Blesch, known from coast to coast for his newspaper articles and lectures on pure jazz, and especially for his recent book, Shining Trumpets, will tell you all about the music you're to hear and introduce the men who play it. And here, preceded by his musical signature, way down yonder in New Orleans, is Rudy Blesch.
Do you know what jazz really is? And you... Too few of us in 1947 do. It's not swing. It's not necessarily the latest tune of Tin Pan Alley or the current movie. It's a pure music of real cultural value improvised by small groups with generally only one instrument of a kind. Each player is free to create his own variation on the musical theme, and these variations combine into a free, rhythmic, harmonious whole. There is more ensemble than there is solo in pure jazz. It's not prearranged or scored like swing, nor wild and chaotic like the jam session. It's orderly, but exciting. In the next half hour, we can bring you only the important highlights of the long and rich history of pure American jazz. But this preview can lead, if you all approve, to a series of programs full of the catchy tunes, the romantic history, and the local color of 75 long years of this American music. Now, imagine yourselves all in old New Orleans. The year is 1870. Down old Rampart Street, a street band is marching in their colorful uniforms. So, here is our first theme, the very birth of jazz. What are they playing? It sounds like that wonderful old march, High Society. That was how the first jazz sounded in New Orleans way back in 1870. Today it was played for you by Ernest Kid Punch Miller, a native New Orleans player known to jazz lovers the whole world over as one of the most powerful and original of trumpet players. Famous Maxie Kaminsky, also on trumpet. Albert Nicholas, the great New Orleans clarinetist. George Brunus, that irrepressible tailgate or parade trombonist. Cy St. Clair, the veteran tuba player, and the great Baby Dodds on drums. Now, didn't that sound different to you? Different from all of the commercial music that we hear on the air today? It is real jazz in its original form, and it is different. Now, for one thing, it's improvised. It's not played from arranged scores. Therefore, it comes right from the heart. Each player composes as he plays his own variations on the basic theme or contributes to those rolling, syncopated rhythms. Of course, before jazz began, there were the spirituals and the work songs and the blues. All of these influence jazz, and jazz is full of the many melodies of the blues. But jazz itself began there, back in the 1870s, with those New Orleans brass bandsmen, untaught men who just couldn't read music, but could make it, and that's what counted. This raggy new music of 1870 was the old military march tune, as they transformed it by stirring rhythm in, by syncopating the melodies. But at the moment, we haven't the time to linger at this period, so we skip over a full generation to our next highlight, to 1897, when the city of New Orleans discovers that this new music is just too good to march to. What do? Just what comes naturally. They begin to dance. The band comes indoors, joins with the piano, ragtime piano, as original and tantalizingly beautiful a music as was ever invented. Hey, there's Lucky Roberts sitting over there now, tickling the keys and wishing that I'd quit talking. Lucky, you know, is an old master of ragtime and composer of many a ragtime hit, as well as more recent ones like the well-known Moonlight Cocktail. So here's Lucky to bring you 1897 and the world-famous Tiger Rag. But by 1905, the band started coming indoors. Other instruments out. There's Baby Dodds on drums just came in. There's Wellman Bro on his string bass. Here comes Albert Nicholas in a moment, coming in on that clarinet. Here's George Bruni's on his trombone. Complete the first dance jazz band. Here's Kid Punch on his famous shiny trumpet. And here, walking in off the street with that big tuba is Cy St. Clair. We'll be right back. So here in the early days of the 20th century, bands are springing up everywhere. They're playing at lawn parties and in the parks of New Orleans, out in the pavilions at Gretna across the wide Mississippi River, and at Milneburg out on the Lake Pontchartrain shore. These little bands, perfecting ragtime bit by bit into jazz, are all the rage. The Gibson Girl Bells, with their leg of mutton sleeves and their picture hats, and their bows and their tight box-back coats, they all go for this music in a big, big way. So we jump now to 1910, and we find jazz prospering as we drop into one of the many cabarets in the old Delta City. Yes, it's way down yonder in the land of dreams on Basin Street that dance jazz is beginning to grow up. So now, it's 1910, and Basin Street Blues. And Kid Punch Miller, a real down-to-earth jazz singer, is going to scat sing it for you, too. You'd like to linger with me here in 1910, but we've got to keep our preview moving. So we'll have to get on to 1917 and World War I, when the cabaret district, Old Storyville, closes. All these fine jazz players have to look for green fields and that folding green stuff elsewhere. But there's the Mississippi, like a wide, shining highway to carry them north. Only a year later, men like the famous Louis Armstrong, Davy Dodds, and others are all climbing aboard that old riverboat, the steamer Sydney, to sail up the Mississippi River and play at St. Louis, Memphis, and all the other river towns. And by 1922, we find Davy Dodds and Louis joining that New Orleans trumpet king, Joe Oliver, in Chicago in one of the greatest outfits of all times, the original Creole Jazz Band. Jazz is a sensation in Chicago. That speakeasy money is flowing like water. And the North, which has never heard any music like this, loves it. So Kid Punch and his all-star group are now going to bring you Chicago 1922 and King Oliver's famous old hit, Dippermouth Blues. Other bands and players begin to flock north, out of New Orleans up to Chicago. Mr. Wellman Bro, our bassist, is already playing here. The original Dixieland Jazz Band is here, too. The New Orleans Rhythm Kings with George Brunies have just arrived. So, here in 1922 in Chicago, we find good jazz and plenty of it. Now, it's this way when real jazz is being played. All the young fellows want to play it, too. You know, it's their devotion and that of older players that is keeping jazz alive right today without a great deal of public or commercial support. So, back in those days in Chicago, the high school boys have all bought instruments, beginning to learn the hard way, but the only way. Among them are names that are going to be famous one day: Bix Beiderbecke, Frank Teschmacher, Joe Sullivan, Muggsy Spanier, Art Hodes, Nez Mesro, and the many others. The Chicagoans, who pattern their playing just as closely after the New Orleans style as they can, are making a music that is rougher and wilder than the New Orleans style. And it's different enough that it's been called Chicago style. So now Maxi Kaminsky, an adept Chicago style player, Brunies, Mez Mesro, Chicago clarinetist and author of note, whose book, Really the Blues, is a current bestseller, Lucky Roberts, Wellman Bro, and Baby Dodds are ready now to give you Chicago 1924 and that all-time popular favorite, I Wish I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate.
Shimmers just like jelly, jelly on the plate. Oh, my mama wanted to know last night why the boys pieces you came so nice.
Ha!
Every boy in the neighborhood knows they can shimmy and it's understood. Oh, I know I'm late. I'll be up to date when I shimmy like my sister Kay. Hear me talking, boy, shimmy like my sister Kay.
When you can begin to see what a mecca for jazz Chicago was those 23 years ago. But music as good as that couldn't be sealed up in only two cities, in New Orleans and Chicago. It just had to spread out, had to get itself heard. So it spread east and it spread west, and even across the oceans, to pop up in Paris, in London, in Shanghai, even in Moscow. New Orleans jazz was really on top in those pre-swing days. Now with time for this preview running short, we must skip to 1925, when that great, never-forgotten late Fats Waller, that great pianist-composer of Harlem, writes the music for a Broadway smash hit, Connie's Hot Chocolates. A number from this show was a sensation on the air and on records. Audience still asked for it. And Kid Punch and his boys will play it now for you. Ain't Misbehavin'.
Thank you.
It has been our pleasure to bring you This Is Jazz, a panoramic preview highlighted with scenes from the long romantic history of American jazz. I feel sure that you, the American public, as you hear this music and come to know its history, will love it and will want to hear more of it. So I hope that we shall all meet again soon for a long, leisurely tour that will begin way down yonder in New Orleans.
Well, this is your host, Jock McGregor. That completes our test presentation of This Is Jazz. The rest is up to you. I'd really appreciate it if you'd take time to drop me a line telling me how you'd like to hear a series of shows based on the program you've just heard, with great jazz players leisurely tracing for you the history of jazz, scene by colorful scene, from 1870 to 1947. So won't you please turn radio critic for a few minutes, jot down your feelings on This Is Jazz, and mail them to me, Jock McGregor, in care of the Mutual Broadcasting System, 1440 Broadway, New York 18, New York. Your letters are very helpful because they tell me what you like and what you don't. And that's the purpose of these shows, to find out what you want so we can give it to you. And to those of you who've written me so many letters about the shows we put on so far in this series, my very sincere thanks. So don't forget, next Saturday afternoon when the same time rolls around again, set your dial for Mutual and listen to another new radio show presented for your approval.
This is the world's largest network, Mutual Broadcasting System.
Don't forget,